Good morning. Joy to be with you this morning. Joy to have an opportunity to come together. And just before we begin this morning, I would like for us to just have a word of prayer for our brother Harvey, not feeling well. They just helped him to go out. So let's just have a word of prayer for our brother Harvey, okay? Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity to look into it and to learn from it. We pray that you'll use it to your glory, and we just pray for our brother Harvey right now. Pray that you'll be with him and touch him and just give him help and be with Carolyn as well, and just help him to be okay and work in this situation to your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, there was a social worker from a large city in Massachusetts that had moved to West Virginia and into the mountains there in West Virginia, into a very rural area. And this was her first tour to go out and to visit some of the homes in the area to which she was assigned. And as she was making her way through her territory, she saw the tiniest little cabin that she had ever seen, and she went up to knock on the door and going to make visit with the family. So she knocked on the door and said, "Is anyone in there?" And a voice of a young boy responded through the door, didn't open it, but responded through the door, and said, "Yep, sure is." And she said, "Well, is your father home?" And he said, "Nope. He left before mom came in." And so the social worker thought, "Well, maybe I can talk to the mom." Said, "Well, is your ma there?" And he said, "Ma? Nope. She also left just before I came in." And so the social worker thought, "My goodness, I wonder if, you know, I need to intervene here in this situation." And she said, "Well, is your family ever together in there at the same time?" And the boy said, "Well, we do get all of us together, but ma'am, it's not in here because this is the outhouse." Well, this social worker went out knocking on doors to try to do her job, and she got a surprise. Are having it as a theme as the assembly to share the gospel with tract distribution. Now, we can share the gospel by going out knocking on doors. I wouldn't encourage you to go to an outhouse, but we can share the gospel through knocking on doors, through giving a word of testimony, through song, any number of ways, and we would encourage all of those ways. But as a theme for this year as an assembly, we have chosen to emphasize in a particular way sharing gospel tracts. And this morning, what I would like to do in the time that we have is to sort of do a follow-up to what our brother Mark shared last week, encouraging us with different ways and methods and being creative and how we can do exactly that, share these gospel tracts. What I'd like to do is to complement that. And if you didn't have an opportunity to be here last week to hear that message, I would encourage you to get a copy of the CD or to go online and listen to that, an excellent challenge that he gave to us. And I'd like to sort of complement what he was talking about last week in not just the idea of doing, but going more toward the motivation and dealing with our heart in being committed and active in participating in this as an assembly challenge. When I was in the second grade, I had to get glasses, and I went for quite a while with my eyes just getting worse and worse over time, and I never even realized how bad my eyes had gotten until I put those glasses on. And when I put those glasses on, I'll never forget the first time I put those glasses on, and I looked up, and there was a tree right outside the window of the building where I was getting the glasses. And it was like I could see individual leaves of that tree for the first time rather than just a big green blob. And thinking about our physical senses, you know, we just sang in that last song, open the eyes of our heart. And you know how appropriate that is for what I would like to talk about here this morning, because while we have physical senses, our physical senses are tied into obviously our bodies, and we have spiritual senses as well. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning, is our spiritual senses. And I would suggest that our spiritual senses are tied in to our heart. And so we sang just a few minutes ago to open the eyes of our heart. But I'd like to add to that not just our eyes that we'd like to look at this morning, our spiritual eyes, but our spiritual ears and the spiritual sense of feeling and also that of speaking. So to springboard into that topic, I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 13. And as we read this passage, there's two things that I would like for you to pick up on, to notice. First of all, how the Lord Jesus here uses the physical senses to illustrate this truth of our spiritual senses. And then the second thing I'd like for you to look at is to notice how he takes those spiritual senses and ties it in to our heart. Let's read Matthew 13, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. And this, in verse 15, ties it together. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. And you know, our physical senses can grow dull, and it can happen over time, gradually sometimes, where we don't even recognize how dull they have become until, like, when I put those glasses on, I realize, wow, I can't believe how dull my sense of vision had become. But you know, spiritually, our spiritual senses can have the same impact. Let's keep reading. Once again, verse 15, he says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And so we can see here that our spiritual senses are connected. Just like if there's something wrong in our bodies, our physical senses can be affected by that. So it is with our heart. Our spiritual senses are tied in with our heart as well. And so what I'd like to do is to look at these spiritual senses, and by doing so, cause us to hopefully be motivated and have a more committed challenge to participate in our assembly goal to reach out to this lost world with gospel tracts and in other ways as well. So let's begin by thinking about the first sense that we often think of is that of seeing. Seeing, we sang, open the eyes of our heart just a minute ago. And as we look at these different senses, there's two things that I'd like to consider about each one of them. First, how it relates to God, and then second, how it relates to the lost, those to whom that we want to share these gospel tracts. Well, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. And I thought it was interesting that one of our songs that we sang this morning had referred to this vision in Isaiah 6 that Isaiah had as well. And we want to read about that, which we sang about just a few moments ago. And as we think about our spiritual vision, well, our vision as it relates to God, how is that going to have an impact on us? Well, how does that relate to being motivated to want to share gospel tracts with the lost in the world in which we live? Let's start in verse number 1 of Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, here's where it starts. What did Isaiah see? He saw the Lord. He saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The vision that he saw was not with his physical eyes, but it was with his spiritual eyes. And that vision that he saw of the Lord high and lifted up had an impact on him that he, first of all, he looked within and he saw himself. He looked up and he was so moved by that vision that he saw with his spiritual eyes that it caused him to look within and to see his own need in his own heart. In verse 6, it says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal from which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" What impact did this vision have on Isaiah? When he saw the Lord high, exalted, and lifted up, he saw him for who he was, and he recognized his lordship. He recognized his greatness. He saw his holiness, and it was moved to see himself for who he was. And he fell down before the Lord, and when the Lord asked, "Who will go?" what was his response to that? "Here am I, send me." And so as we think about our spiritual eyes, as it relates to the Lord, we need to see him. We need to look to him. We need to recognize who he is. And it is he that is actually sending us out with this gospel. It is not just the fact that it is an assembly challenge. It is not just the fact that the elders felt burdened of the Lord to promote this as a theme for 2014. But it's the Lord is the one who's sending us. And what we want to do is to see that he is the one who is calling out and saying, "Who will go? Who will go?" And Isaiah would say, "Here am I, send me." And so I hope that we will have that same, you know, it has to start with an upward vision. The upward vision will lead to an inward vision, which will then in turn lead to an outward vision where we'll be burdened about those who also need to know about this great God whom we serve. And so, you know, maybe as I was thinking about this whole thing with Isaiah, it could be that there's somebody who would be tempted to think, you know, well, I'm not Isaiah. I'm not a prophet. I'm not one of these great men who have these long books that, you know, the Lord gave them these prophecies and all of these things. But, you know, while none of us are an Isaiah or an Ezekiel necessarily, every one of us can relate to what the Lord told his followers the day right when he was, just before he was getting ready to ascend up into heaven. Do you remember what he told his disciples, his followers? He says, "But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." And so while we might not be Ezekiel or we might not be Isaiah or any of those great prophets as we see this vision, you know, a vision like this will affect us in the same way because they saw the risen Christ. The disciples saw the risen Christ and they heard him say, "Go, you are my witnesses and you'll have the power of the Holy Spirit within you to go." And so I hope that we will have that same vision of the Lord and hearing him tell us, "You are my witnesses." And this is one way that we can do that. There's several ways that we can be witnesses. And the one way that we're emphasizing is by sharing these gospel tracts. But you know, in thinking about spiritual eyesight, not only can we look at it from the perspective of how it relates to God, but then how it relates to the lost. If you would turn to Luke 16 as we think about this aspect of this spiritual sense of eyesight. Luke chapter 16. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, my heart is really touched because I recognize that the man that we are going to be reading about here, it could have been me. It could have been me. But for the grace of God that He brought the good news of the gospel where I could be saved, I have been spared from what we are going to be read about. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been spared as well. But what I would like for us to do is to tune up our spiritual senses, that of eyesight, and to see this place afresh as we read from Luke 16, beginning in verse 19. And there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who would want to pass from there to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." And then he said, "I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." I hope that we will open our spiritual eyes in a fresh way to see the awful doom of those who leave this life without Jesus Christ. It would have been our doom if we had not been saved. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior here this morning, aren't you glad that the Scripture says that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life right now? That is yours right now if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But for those who leave this life outside of Christ, having never trusted Him as Savior, this is their doom. And brothers and sisters, we need a fresh vision of the doom of those who are outside of Christ. We need to see in a fresh way this place of torment that is referred to, this phrase that is used over and over in this passage, this place where there is torment forever and ever to those who die without Christ. Let me share a few phrases from Scripture that will help us to sharpen our spiritual vision about what this place is like and how it's described in Scripture. It's described as everlasting fire in Matthew 18:18. Everlasting chains, 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Eternal fire, Jude 7. The pit of the abyss, Revelation chapter 9. Outer darkness in Matthew 8:12. The wrath of God, Romans 2:5. It's the second death in Revelation 21. Eternal destruction from the face of God, 2 Thessalonians 1:9, and eternal damnation in Mark chapter 3. And there are many others as well. This place, this awful place. You know how it's so easy to get wrapped up in our lives here and to forget or to take for granted what we have been saved from. And this is what we have been saved from. And we have the good news of the gospel. And it is easy as taking a piece of paper that has the Word of God, the powerful Word of God, and simply sharing it with another. We can do that. And that's our challenge this year. And, you know, I believe a fresh vision of hell will motivate us to do that, to share these good gospel tracts. William Booth of the Salvation Army is quoted as saying that if he could have done it, he would have taken his soldiers and dangled them for 24 hours over the pit of hell before sending them out. Why would he say that? Because he knows that the reality of the awfulness, the ugliness, the eternalness of hell will motivate any believer to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would have spiritual eyes to see not only hell, but also spiritual eyes to see the preciousness of lost souls. We need to be reminded of how precious a soul is to God. In Matthew chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but in verse 36, we read there that it says that when the Lord, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. He was moved with compassion. As he looked out, he didn't just see the mass of people, but he saw each individual. And I remember the day when I know that he saw me as an individual, and he singled me out with the gospel, and he drew somebody to share that good news with me. And I trust that we will see the preciousness of each individual it is to God, and be moved with compassion like the Lord Jesus. Do you remember what he told his disciples right after he was moved with compassion there? He said this, then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, and the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest will send his laborers into the harvest." As he was moved with compassion, he cared about their eternal destiny. And he said, pray the Lord will raise up those, even from here, even from amongst those in this room, all of us, to share this good news out there with those who need to hear it. The Lord's challenge in John chapter 4, verse 35, he said, "Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you," listen to what he told them, "lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." As we go out this week, our challenge is to lift up our spiritual eyes. And as we see people, not to see them as this person is in front of me in line somewhere, or this person is waiting in the same waiting room with me in a doctor's office, but to see them with spiritual eyes, like the Lord did, to see the preciousness of each soul to him. In Mark 8:36, he said, "For what will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his own soul?" You know, the value to God of one soul is more than all of this world, than all of this physical world that we know. The value of one soul is more important to God. And I trust that we will have our eyes opened to see the same and be motivated to share. Remember that if you are saved today, it had something to do with an individual who cared enough to share the gospel with you. It had to do with an individual that God would use to bring the good news, to be God's witness sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual sense of seeing. But there's another sense that I'd like to look at, and that is of hearing. And to look at that sense of hearing, first of all, as it relates to God. We want to hear from Him. What is His desire for the lost? And as we hear these words, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm often guilty. And I was sharing this with a brother last night, is a lot of these things we already know as believers, do we not? But sometimes we just need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to have our senses sharpened a little bit. They've become a little bit dull for one reason or another. And we need to be reminded of them. And I know I'm guilty sometimes of hearing things from Scripture and being tugged for the moment And then when I leave the room, sometimes I don't even change. Sometimes I don't apply that which I've heard. But I hope that we will hear what he says. Hear the voice of the Lord, not just with our physical ears, but to hear him with spiritual ears, so that it'll affect our lives, so that it'll make a difference when we leave this room and go out this week. It'll make a change in what we do. 2 Peter 3:9, we know that the Lord says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that something that I hear with my spiritual ears? That he's not willing that any should perish. In 1 Timothy 2:4, he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In Matthew 18:14, he says, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. One, just one. That's his heart. We need to hear that with spiritual ears so that it'll motivate us. When we go out and we see those individuals who are not saved, we'll be thinking, you know, it's God's plan. It's God's desire. It's his heart for these to be saved. And he can use us to share that good news with them. To also hear God's desire for us as well, though. Not only to hear God's desire for the unsaved, but we also need to hear with spiritual ears his desire for each one of us. Acts 1:8 again, he tells us that we are his witnesses. In Mark 16:15, he told his disciples there and those that were on the hillside, he said, go into the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And he tells us to do the same thing. Not only hearing it with physical ears, we know these things, but to hear it with spiritual ears so that it'll touch us right at the place that affects our spiritual senses, and that is our heart. We also need to hear as it relates to the lost. We need to tune up our physical ears, our spiritual ears, to hear what this rich man said in Luke chapter 16. Do you remember what he said? He said, I am tormented in this flame. Do I hear that? With spiritual ears, to hear what he's saying. He says, I. He doesn't say we. I'm sure there were others that were there as well. But he says, I. Why would he say I? Because that speaks of the utter aloneness of this place of torment. All alone, in a sense. The word tormented means to cause pain. It refers to both physical and emotional pain. Not just the physical, but also emotional. That realizing of those who are there, of the opportunities they had to be saved, and that emotional anguish that they squandered those opportunities and never got saved. And here they were, and it was too late. And he uses the word flame, which simply means a fiery flame. A fiery flame for all eternity. Do we hear what the rich man is saying? Do we remember what he says? That the scripture says that this is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This is in essence what the rich man is saying. He says, please listen with spiritual ears. I am tormented in this flame. I am utterly alone, forever separated from the presence of God. I long for even one small drop of water to have but 1 second of relief from this burning fiery flame. The deep sorrow and emotional anguish are more than I can bear. And he goes on and he would have us to hear with spiritual ears. He would say, please, dear Christian, I know that it is too late for me, but I have some brothers who can still be saved. I beg you, please, tell them before they plunge into this horrible pit of the abyss. Do we hear this rich man with spiritual ears to the point where we're tugged at our own hearts to want to share the good news? Then there's the spiritual sense of feeling that we would like to consider as well. You know, we can do all we can feel. Aren't we thankful for the sense of feeling and all of our senses? You can feel rough and cold and hot and smooth. You can feel something when it's pointed and it jabs and all these things. the spiritual sense of feeling, the spiritual sense of feeling as it relates to God. How does God feel, as it were, about the lost? Ezekiel 33 says that he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but they may turn from their wicked ways and live. We read that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, it says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we see his heart. We see how he feels about those who are lost. He came for that reason. He came to save the lost. In fact, in Matthew 9, once again, it says that he was moved with compassion. And so we know how he feels. Do we feel the same way? Do we feel that way toward the lost? Having a burden, having a desire for them to be saved. Also, as it relates to the lost, our feeling, as it were, not only toward, as we think of God as our example and his desire that the lost would be saved, but also our own burden for them. We don't have time to turn to Luke 5, but you remember the passage of Scripture where there was the lame man, and there were his four friends that took their friend on a stretcher, and they were bringing this one to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was in the home, and there were so many people crowded around that when they got there, they couldn't get this man to the Lord. And you know, I could have thought to themselves, well, you know, we've tried. Maybe it's just not the Lord's will. You know, they could have rationalized that way, but they didn't. Why didn't they? Why did they persist? Because their heart was for this one man to stand before the Lord, to come to the Lord. Their heart was for this one individual. And it gave them a drive. It gave them an enthusiasm. It gave rise to creativity. How can we get this man to the Lord? And what did they do? They went up the steps on the side of the house. And they went on the roof and they opened up the roof of the house. And they let the man down on the stretcher. And there he was before the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm moved by these four men because the Bible says, Jesus says when he saw their faith, I wonder, do I really believe that God can use these gospel tracts? Do I have that same drive, that same enthusiasm to be creative in ways to share this gospel? To not be deterred when we run into roadblocks, but to keep going and to be driven out of a love for those who are lost. The poet said, there is a love constraining me to go and seek the lost. I yield, O Lord, my all to thee, to save at any cost. May that be our sense of feeling, our spiritual sense of feeling toward the lost. We need to move along real quickly. The last spiritual sense that I would like to think about is the sense of speaking. And as I thought about this sense that we have physically, it makes a big difference. If you can't talk, it makes a big difference. But you know, you might think, if we're handing out gospel tracts, what does it have to do with speaking? That doesn't really require a lot of speaking to do that. But when we think about these spiritual senses as it relates to God, what do we want to do if we're going to be going out as witnesses for Him? We need to pray. We need to pray. The spiritual sense of speaking as it relates to God is that we need to pray. Brothers and sisters, we can't do it on our own. The Lord Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And we need to be in prayer for one another. Maybe physically there are those who can't get out quite as often. Pray for those who are. Pray for those who are able to get out and share the good news and give out tracts even more. But be creative in how you can do it and pray the Lord will open those doors. We could talk so much more about prayer and the importance of prayer. But speaking to God, but then also, you know, sometimes when we share that gospel tract, it might just open a door. When we share it with somebody, the Lord could have been working in their heart. And that timing of the Lord, there are divine appointments that He brings where somebody could come to you after you've given them a gospel tract and want to talk about the Lord. There's where we do want to speak. There's where we want to be ready. The Scripture tells us to be ready with an answer for the hope that is within. And we want to be ready. We may not know all the answers. One of my favorite stories is in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 5, where this little girl that is taken away as a captive out of Israel by Naaman into Syria. And here this little girl, this young girl, this maid, this unnamed person, speaks up for the God of Israel and says, you know what, there's a prophet Elijah in Israel that could cure Naaman of his leprosy. And sure enough, you know the story and how that exactly is what happened. She didn't know all the answers, but she was willing to speak up. She was willing to speak up for what she knew. That's what a witness does. A witness tells what they know. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know how He saved you. And we can tell that to others. We can use that spiritual sense of speaking and the physical sense of speaking as well to share the good news of the gospel as He opens doors for us. We need to ask God to prepare our hearts and to prepare the hearts of those that will receive these gospel tracts. We need to pray that He will direct our steps and that He will sharpen our spiritual senses, our vision, our spiritual sense of hearing, our spiritual sense of feeling and of speaking, so that we'll be motivated this week and the rest of this year and even all of our lives to be the witnesses that He would have us to be as He opens doors. Let me close with this short little poem that has challenged me many times over the years, and I trust that it will challenge your heart as well. Could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion with the world around you damned? Let's pray. Our Father, as we are challenged by your word, I pray, Father, that you will sharpen our spiritual senses. I know, Father, in my own life, it's so easy to allow my senses to become dulled by the things of this life or the things of this world, or even anything that could come in and be a hindrance to sharing the gospel. I pray, Father, that you will sharpen our senses. Help us to see as you see. Help us to hear as from your word, your voice, speaking to us. Father, help us to be moved in our own hearts to be the witnesses that you'd have us to be. We pray that you'll go before us, that you will open doors to share the good news, that you'll take the gospel in these tracts that we want to share, that you will use it to bring souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we know that any result, any fruit that comes, we will not have any room to glory in, because you are the one who saves. You are the one who brings fruit. And so, Father, we just pray that you'll help us, challenge us this week, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.